This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not actually beginning a new journey, but continuing the theme. As we mentioned at Surah An-Nas, the relationship between Surah An-Nas and Surah Al-Fatiha is a deep relationship, as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah highlights in some of his works of tafsir, that the theme inside Surah Al-Fatiha is also inside Surah An-Nas as well. The other reason we decided to continue this theme of surahs of the Qur'an is a certain surahs that we recite on a daily basis. So many of us have this affiliation, whether it be a spiritual affiliation, whereby the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that we should recite certain surahs before we go to sleep, like Surah Al-Mulk or Surah Al-Waqi'ah or the recital of Surah Yasin, when kana a hadith da'ifa, even though the ahadith are da'if in nature, but still it becomes something which is common inside our society, that people have this affiliation to certain surahs or Surah Al-Baqarah. Whoever memorizes Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, will have two shades above the head on the Day of Judgment, and other such surahs that we're going to touch upon. But the first surah is Surah Al-Fatiha, a surah at least that we recite at least 17 times a day. And it's quite shameful to highlight that maybe many of us don't know the inner meaning or the understanding of this surah, of this salah or this supplication, this dua that we make on a daily basis of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or prior to that praising and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus it becomes incumbent upon a Muslim to know about those things that concern them on a daily basis, especially those ritual practices. Many ulama mention when a person is about to engage in something, that action becomes an obligation. So to learn how to offer one's salah is an obligation. If a person, month of Ramadan begins, it becomes obligatory for a person to learn the rights and regulations of Ramadan. If a person is about to perform Hajj, then it becomes incumbent upon that person to learn the rights and regulations of Hajj. And likewise, at-tijara, person involved in business, transactions, or dealings, or whatever it may be, they need to study the fiqh, the halal and haram of that which they indulge in every single day. And even more so with this surah, whereby, as we mentioned, that we recite at least 17 times a day. How many of us are far away from the deep understanding of this surah and the impact of this surah inside our lives? So we should go back and read the tafsir of these surahs, and specifically Surah Al-Fatiha. And the difference between this journey that we've condensed ourselves on only maybe a few books of tafsir, and specifically Ibn Kathir's tafsir, who is Imam al-Mufassirin, that you find if you read through his tafsir, you find an easy way of understanding and spiritual understanding of these surahs inside the Quran that we could all relate to. Because many of us, we think that maybe what scholars they wrote centuries ago is not relevant to today's time. And it's the opposite. Many books that you pick them up, you begin to read through them, they're written centuries ago, you feel as if they're speaking about today's times. Or they talk about spirituality that we all need in today's times. So people shouldn't fall into this modernistic approach that we don't need to look at classical sources to understand. The more classical the sources in tafsir, the more stronger the meaning is, the more spirituality there is inside these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that this surah, this Meccan surah, we find 25 words that we find, or 7 ayat, which is the general view of the ulama, even though some begin to contain that basmala, bismillah rahman rahim, is part of this surah. But the majority of the ulama go to the view that basmala is something separate from these 7 verses. 25 words, 113 letters, and 5 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned inside this surah. This surah is the first complete surah that was sent down to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. The first, to refresh our memory, the first ayat are the ayat from Surah Al-Alaq. Then we find whether it be Surah Al-Mudathir, Al-Muzammil, ayat from there, or Surah Al-Duha, or Surah Inshirah that we find. But as for one complete full surah, is this Meccan surah, Surah Al-Fatiha, which was never sent down, wala fi Tawrah, wala fi Injil, wala fi Zabur, was never sent down in any of the previous scriptures, except for in the scripture given to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And this shows the magnitude of this surah, the power of this surah, Al-Fatiha, the opening, the beginning. And that's why many ulama mentioned that the whole of the Quran is condensed inside Surah Al-Fatiha. Everything of the Quran is condensed inside Surah Al-Fatiha. Everything inside Al-Fatiha is condensed inside Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Does Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, if I'm not mistaken, wrote one or two volumes based on this one verse on what is belief and spirituality? This one verse, you alone we worship and you alone we seek assistance and help from. And other ulama mentioned that the whole of Al-Fatiha and everything is encompassed, or the whole of Quran, in one word. Alhamdu. That's it. That is, if a person just understands that one word, the deeper inner meaning that one word, will understand the Quran. Will understand, if you could use such words, understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we find the name of the surah Al-Fatiha, the beginning that everything spills from this surah, the rest of the Quran spills through Al-Fatiha. Ummul Kitab, in a hadith inside the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi that we find, Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. Another hadith, you find Ummul Qura, or Ummul Quran, Quran, the mother of the Quran. The Arabs had this habit that everything which was central to them inside their life, they called it Al-Umm, the mother. Everything that was central, Al-Umm, the literal meaning is the membrane of the brain that we find, the covering of the brain, the main focal point of the human being. So everything which was central to their life, they gave it a title of Al-Umm. So Ummul Kitab, Ummul Quran. And so Imam Shafi'i wrote a whole risala of al-fiqh called Al-Umm, titled Al-Umm. Even inside the Quran that we find, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً, his mother or abode, meaning his point of marji', his point of return, will be the pit, will be the hellfire given to this individual. So this is the title that the Prophet ﷺ mentions inside his hadith that Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, is called Ummul Kitab or Ummul Quran. Likewise, you find, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. Indeed, we've given you the 7 oft-repeated verses inside Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th chapter of the Qur'an, and the magnificent Qur'an. That's why some of you say that Al-Fatiha is called the magnificent Qur'an, or Sab'u al-Mathani, the 7 oft-repeated verses. That every single day that we repeat these verses, that we're imploring and we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th chapter of the Qur'an, is a strange surah in a sense, even though the rough translation is Al-Hijr, the rocky tract, or track. But inside this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's numerous verses inside it speaking about the Qur'an. When Allah begins this surah, it begins by mentioning Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitabi wa Qur'anin Mubin. This is the clear book, Ayatul Kitab, the verses of the book, wa Qur'anin Mubin, and the clear Qur'an. That the Qur'an is a clear book. And many times inside the Qur'an, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'at, uses the broken letters, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim Sad, Ha Mim, Qaf, Sad. Study that every time in general it will speak about the Quran. Except for in one or two places, if my memory serves great, inside Surah Al-Ankabut and Surah Al-Rum. Other throughout the Quran, whenever Allah uses these letters, will always speak about the magnificence of the Quran. Speak about the grandeur of the Quran. That's what Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, أن السبب لهذه الحروف المقطعات, the reason for these letters is حروف التحدي, is to challenge the Arabs, to challenge the Quraysh, because they were skillful in the Arabic language. That these letters that you use, your poetry, al-mu'allaqat, that they hung on the Kaaba, you find that one, a person can recite not a few hundred lines of poetry. He could recite 10,000 lines of poetry, fi duf'atin wahida, in one go. Recite 10,000 lines of poetry. Everybody standing there would have memorized those lines of poetry. One gathering, one recital, whoever stood there would have memorized those lines of poetry. So these individuals, they were powerful inside language. They understood the language, the rhetoric of the Quran, they understood it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this challenge, gave them this tahaddi, this challenge that you are skillful inside the language. فَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. If you have any doubt in that which we sent down upon our servant, then bring one verse like onto it, one surah like onto it. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. That's why Allah says, you cannot do it and you will never ever be able to do it. And this ulama of ulum al-Qur'an mentioned is awwal ayah fil Qur'an, ayah to tahaddi. The first ayah inside the Qur'an is challenging mankind, challenging the world. 1440 or so years have gone by. No one has been able to write something like the Qur'an. If the Quraysh weren't able to do it at that time, how do you think that someone coming centuries later is going to be able to compile something like the Qur'an, or going to try to challenge the Qur'an? That's why it's incumbent upon us Muslims to read deeper and deeper into the Qur'an. As I say, to decipher the words of Allah. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيَّنَ النَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We sent down the dhikr, and dhikr is from min asma' al-Qur'an, that you may explain to mankind. The role of the Prophet ﷺ is to explain to them what is the role of the Qur'an, what is the meaning of the Qur'an. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, that you may ponder and reflect. You know, the understanding of the Qur'an isn't just a mere recital and reading. It reaches a person's mindset to go to lofty heights, deep comprehension. You know, this is a problem inside a society. People just want to be the average individual. You shouldn't aspire to be the average individual. Or they think, what's the benefit of the Qur'an? The highest benefit is the Qur'an inside your life. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Qur'an and teaches the Qur'an. These statements are very rare. If you study the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, very rarely did he praise certain things in the sense of خَيْرُكُمْ, who's the best amongst you? The best amongst you is he who is good to his family members, and I'm good to my family members. Why did he say that? To teach people, because of the roughness, the hard nature of the people around him, to teach them that to be kind and to dutiful to your families is part of Iman. And here we find this hadith that the best amongst you is a person who's learned the Qur'an, who's memorized the Qur'an, who teaches the Qur'an to other individuals. And a deeper meaning of learning the Qur'an, understanding the Qur'an, as many ulama, Imam Nawawi speaks about, is understanding tadabbur ayat, is to ponder over the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person, when he reads the ayat of al-wa'd wal-wa'id, about punishment, about torture, ayatul adhab, ayatul zajr, reads about these ayat, they should move the individual. That's if you read from Surah Ghafir, or just prior to that onwards, then after towards the end of the Quran, ulama mentioned is nothing but speaking about al-akhirah, speaking about Jannah, wal-nar. Very few ayat of ahkam that we find. Surah Al-Jathiyah, Al-Dukhan, Al-Ahqaf. Read these surahs, Ghafir. These surahs, nothing but you find speaking about al-akhirah, al-zumur, about people of hellfire, people of paradise. These are the ayat that awaken the individual. As Umar ibn Khattab mentioned, حَذُّكَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ حَذُّكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Your share of Islam is your share of the Qur'an. What is your bond and your relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah mentioned later on inside Surah Al-Hijr again, or right in the beginning, that we sent down, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We sent down the dhikr and we're going to guard and we're going to preserve it. The Qur'an has been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No individual can come and change a harf. Look at even when an imam makes a mistake between a fa and a wa, some qurra just let it go by, but some say no. Even a changing of a letter from a fa to a wa, or missing it out, some of them don't let it go by because this is kalamullah. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Us people are imma who are qurra. They could have spent hours with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows people that at times he can lift up the Qur'an. He can take it away because this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا قُوَّةٍ, it has strength, it has power. That's what Allah mentioned. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. If we send this Qur'an on a mountain, it will cleft it asunder, turn it into dust, into powder. That's what the Qur'an is. When we read about Kitab al-Wahy, in Sahih al-Bukhari in the beginning, look at the power of the Qur'an when it came down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Anybody who was sitting next to him, if he rested his blessed legs or his knees or his thigh on a person, it's as if their thigh was about to break. It was about, the thigh bone was about to break. Because why? The power of the Qur'an coming down. That's why in a hadith that we find, in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting with Jibreel alayhi salam. They're sitting there. Look at these comrades, look at these friends. Look who his friends are. He's sitting there and you find all of a sudden they hear a sound. And Jibreel alayhi salam says to him that, you know, this sound is a door of paradise that's been opened, that's been never been opened before. And an angel descends and brings down two lights. And what are these two lights that have been given? Surah Al-Fatiha and the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, which has never been sent down before. And for every time a person recites this surah, recites these final two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, the person will be given whatever they ask for. In a hadith inside Sahih Muslim, look at the virtue of this. The hadith, Al-Qudsi, Qasamtu Salata Bayni wa Bayna Abdi wa Li Abdi Ma Sa'an. The most strongest hadith that explains the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Just read this one hadith. And his shuruhat, his explanations. Allah said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. I've divided as-salah. As-salah huna bima'na al-fatiha. Another name of this surah is as-salah. I've divided it between myself and my servant. وَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When my servant says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah says, my servant has praised me. وَلَمَّا يَقُولَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. My servant has extolled, praised me even more. When he says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, Allah says, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي. My servant has glorified me. Then when a person says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, then Allah says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. This is now between me and my servant. And my servant will have whatever he or she asks for. When he says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, again, Allah says he will have whatever he asks for. So that's why ulama said that another name of Al-Fatiha is Ad-Dua, is supplication, is imploring, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to enter into the fiqh of whether people should read Fatiha or not, but this in itself should be a concrete evidence that if you remain silent, you're just standing there. Why don't you read this surah? Because it's between a relation between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they call al-kanz, the treasure. This is a hidden treasure that a person calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, al-ruqya. The famous hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, if I'm not mistaken, whereby he came to a land, came to a people, and requested them for some food and drink. And they pushed them out, maybe out of bukhala, of stinginess, or they were strange people, or they were Muslims, whatever the reason may be. So all of a sudden, their master, their leader, got stung by Amma al-Aqrab or al-Hayya, via a scorpion or a snake, some vicious animal, stung him. So he was poisoned. So now the people came rushing to him and said, is there amongst you, a raqi amongst you, person who can do incantation, who can recite, who could take away, if you can use these linguistic words of charms and spells that the Arabian Peninsula was full of. Is there someone who can recite something to take, alleviate this pain and this suffering from this individual? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, look, before that, we're going to come to some agreement because you pushed us away. We want some food and some drink to be given to us. Then we're going to send a person who's going to go and do this action or recite upon your chief. So when they agreed, he went and he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. We back the riwayat, sab'a marrat, seven times. He recited upon this individual, and this individual was cured. And then they gave him the food and the drink, and they ate and they drank and they went back. But still he felt that maybe I've done something without the permission of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Then the Prophet said to him, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهَا الرُّقْيَا. How did you know? How do you know that Surah Al-Fatiha is a ruqya, is a cure? That's you find a shafiyah, the one that cures. In a hadith which is da'if, it mentions that Surah Al-Fatiha cures everything, even if a person is poisoned. Hadith is da'if, but that's what ulama mentions that works at tafasir. That it's a cure for everything, all your ailments. Ailments within yourself. That's what ulama have concluded. Al-Fatiha, yaruddu ala kulli shay, is a refutation of everything. Christianity, Judaism, incorrect beliefs, corrupt beliefs, people who deviate, people who are astray, people who are lost, it's all the whole surah, if you study and break it down, it's all a refutation, all those deviations. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance to remain upon the straight path. Al-Kafiya, that which suffices, Al-Fatiha suffices everything and nothing suffices it. Meaning that everything inside the Quran is from Al-Fatiha. It's in itself, it stands on its own. That's why Imam Al-Firawz Abadi, he collected more than 30 asma li Surah Al-Fatiha. He collected more than 30 names for this surah. And the ulama mentioned that anything has excessive names and praise, it shows the magnitude, al-shukr, al-du'a, al-kanz. As we mentioned some of these names, that this is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you find even the meaning is mentioned, al-hamdu. Just to understand that is far more deeper. Then why didn't Allah say ashukru lillah? Why didn't Allah say ashukru lillah? Because shukr is when somebody does something for you, then you return back that gratitude. But alhamd is for eternity, always thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the greatest form of dhikr. Ama rabbuka yuhibbul hamd. Your Lord loves to be praised. So a person should be excessive in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you find these two words that are heavy on the scale, or the words that fill the heavens and the earth and the sky, is Alhamdulillah. Tamla'ul Mizan. It fills the scales. So a person should be excessive in praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's why in the end of Surah Al-Hijr, Allah mentioned that these people have taken the Quran Idin. They've taken the Quran in ajza. They believe in some parts and rejecting other parts of it. And then Allah then concludes this surah by mentioning wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death comes to you. What is the worship of Allah? It's nothing but al-ibadah of use of Surah Al-Fatiha. That you recite it every single day inside your life. Every single day you're focusing inside it. You're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rabbus samawati wal ard. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That many of us, we're far away. That's why we find the whole concept of aqaid, the whole concept of belief, isn't what we find in our society, a refutation culture. That's not the intention of belief. The core element of aqaid is spirituality, is at-ta'alluq billah, is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Not have knowledge that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah. Then what does Allah say? وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ Seek forgiveness for your sins. That's what knowing Allah is. Knowing that your downfalls, your shortcomings, your taqsirat, your deficiency, your weakness, your lack of perception, your lack of ibadah, your lack of commitment and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what aqa'id, that's what belief is. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ It's not going around questioning people like, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's a faraway element. It's about knowing within your own self. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ Wherever you are, Allah is watching over you, is vigilant over you, will ask you. That's what I find these muqaddamah, the ulama mentioned, this is all speaking about Allah. Getting a person to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then Allah mentions Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that He is Ar-Rahman. That's why some ulama said, Ar-Rahmanu al-Dunya wa Rahimu al-Akhirah. That Rahmah, both of them go back to the word of Ar-Rahmah, mercy, compassion, benevolence, kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in this dunya, towards every subject, but in the Akhirah, wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. But for the believers, is more specific inside al-Akhirah. Allah is Rahim towards these individuals. That's why no one is allowed to keep the name Ar-Rahman. Unless it has the suffix, it's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the most merciful. And once again, ulama mentioned, to study these names and attributes is to live that mercy. Is to live that compassion. Read the hadith linked to this. Irhamu man fil ard, yirhamukum man fil sama. Show mercy and compassion to those around you in the earth, and Allah will show compassion to you who is in the heavens, above the heavens, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean? Once again, it goes back to spirituality. That the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be enacted in our lives are showing compassion, kindness, sympathy, empathy, understanding. No one can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a look at the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the mercy of how He forgives, how He pardons, how He overlooks. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because many of us, we play this role of demigods inside our life, of being judgmental people inside our life, always so worried about other people, about their lives, what will happen to them. That's not the role of a Muslim, to be so delved into what will happen to other individuals. It's to be worried about oneself, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with me on that day. And that's then Allah mentions, after that, Maliki Yawmiddin, after these muqaddamat, why? Why does Allah say that He is Maliki or Maliki, whichever qara'ah that you take, that He is the master, the king of the day of judgment? That now you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Liman al-mulku al-yawm? Lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. To whom does the kingdomship belong today? It belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lillahi mulku al-samawati wal-ard. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. That's why we find ulama in the tafsir that speak about this concept of kingdomship. It's just nisbi, it's just a title that people that they adopt upon themselves and upon their family members or whatever it may be. They don't have no real power. They have no real dominance. They have no real control. Because you find on that day, even in this dunya, Allah shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only master, is the only king. That's why these titles are futile titles that we find, that even unfortunately, they only enter the realm of politics. The Muslim world is full of these titles. It's far beyond that. Glory is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that he's Maliki Yawmiddin, the day of Ad-Din bima'na Yawmul Jaza' Al-Hisab, the day of accountability. Standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being brought forth to what we've done inside our life. And the more the person has strengthened himself via what action? Allah said, then says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. The only way that you can come close to me, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is via ibadah, is via worship. The ibadah codified. That's why ibadah is tawqifiyah. Ibadah is restricted. Ibadah isn't that every Muslim feels that I worship Allah like this, I do this action, I do this dhikr, I do this, I do that. No. Ibadah is restricted, it's codified. You follow the scripture. You follow the prescription of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, make dhikr like this, you do it like that. You do it like that. Why? Because he was the best individual who praised and remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you follow that inside your life. As we mentioned, that's why this whole this surah is a refutation of all those people who deviate, even the realms of ibadah. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and we seek aid and assistance from you. Ulama begin to discuss min ma'ani al-isti'ana. You know, because some people think it just means that you just ask Allah, Allah helps you. That's not the meaning of al-isti'ana. Al-isti'ana is that you're trying to do something yourself. You're trying to pray. You're trying to fast. You're trying to change. You're trying to move away from munkarat. Al-fawahish, you're trying to move. Go inside that direction so Allah aids you. You ask Allah, then He helps you. You have to be physically, it has to be a two-way relationship, as I said. You have to be physically trying to change. Then you find that al-isti'ana will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when an individual, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. If the servant asks about me, I'm close to that individual and I respond to that individual. So the person, the more that they call, the more that they implore and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will guide them. That's why Allah mentioned that, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to the straight path. What is a straight path? And Mufassirin mentioned, whether it be Al-Quran, or Al-Islam, or the Sunnah, or towards Al-Jannah. All these meanings are all encompassed inside the path. Whether it be the path on this dunya, or Al-Sirat, as ulama mentioned, inside Al-Akhirah, to cross the path. Guide us to the straight path. Why are we asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 17 times a day? Guide us to the straight path if we know that the straight path is al-Islam. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. We know that's the straight path. Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he highlights the meaning of this is plausible meanings, is a person asking Allah that keep me firm on that path. That now I know this is the path of Islam, keep me firm on that path, keep me guided on that path. That's why the Prophet ﷺ would ask every single day for guidance. He said, don't leave me for the blinking of an eye. That's the Prophet ﷺ. He said, don't leave me for the blinking of an eye. We, unfortunately, walk out of Jum'ah, we walk out of Taraweeh, walk out of Ramadan, walk out of Salah. And straight away, the fitan, the trials, the tribulations, the dunya overcomes us. So we should be even more so weeping and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us guidance, especially in the environment, climate that we live in at the moment. You know, if a person can hold fast to their faith, stay away from these munkarat, not to follow that path, that shows higher spirituality. And this is the sir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That people who don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't love the symbols of Allah, that's you find that these, some of these people, when the adhan is called now, they have to dim down the sound, because the voice or the sound of the name of Allah should not be lofty above the haram sounds of these rap artists and musical artists and these nude women and haram. The voice of Allah should be dimmed. The name of Allah should be dimmed. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. That the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will dance in a state of nudity with a kalima behind them, singing and dancing with the name of Allah behind them. That's blasphemy.
Where's belief now today? Where's belief of Tawheed? Where's the belief today? People, naked women dancing in front of the name of Allah behind them or carrying the flag of Allah in their hands. And people turn a blind eye. That is Tawheed. That is belief, conviction. Because it's not about land and people. It's not about lands and people. It's about belief. The word of Tawheed spreads wherever it goes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ignite people. People you can never ever imagine who will return back to Tawheed and lift up the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it doesn't belong to certain people, as people may think, that a certain regime or a certain empire or certain type of people have the right to be people of Islam. Who said that? Read through history. Read through Al-Andalus. Kam min al-mufassirin wal-ulama wal-fuqaha. Read this through a 2-hour flight from here. How many ulama inside modern day Spain there existed who became some of the most magnanimous writers of tafasid, words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that exist to this day? Because this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He selects and chooses. When people begin to leave that, He will bring people who will revive the right belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that should be a severe warning to us, to many of us Muslims, that we become passive Muslims inside our life. Islam isn't a passive way of life, that everything mashihal, everything just person turns a blind eye to it. But when your brother commits a sin, then all hell breaks out loose upon that person. Maybe they raise their hands inside dua, inside salah. Maybe they didn't pray according to the sunnah. Maybe they don't dress like this. Maybe they don't eat like this. Maybe they don't do this action. Maybe they trim their beard. Maybe they don't look like a Muslim. But excuse the expression, all hell breaks out loose on this person. That how many people have left their deen because of harshness and strictness and attitude of Muslims towards them. But when clear munkarat are expressed in front of you, then you turn a blind eye. Well, it's a political world. Who said it's a political world? It's not a political world. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. What is munkar, wherever you exist inside your life. Man ra'a minkum munkar, munkaran falyughayyir biyadihi. Whoever amongst you sees an evil, change it with his hand. If not with his hand, then speak against it. Then if not, at least despise it inside your heart. And Allah will show who the people of Tawheed and belief are. It will be shown. Don't be surprised. Give it a few more years. It will be displayed in the world that what is the real people of belief, and those people deviate from the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the person makes that supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surat al-ladhina anamta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim wal dhalin. Allah, guide me to the straight path, the path of those individuals you've conferred your favor upon. And there are four types of individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred His favor upon. You find inside Surah An-Nisa that we find that these are the individuals who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in His messenger, and will be amongst those individuals who are the prophets, as-siddiqeen, wa-shuhada'i, wa-hasuna ula'ika rafiqa. The person will be with those individuals who are the messengers, the prophets, the truthful individuals, the martyrs. These are the best friends, the best comrades that person can have. Meaning, look at the life of these individuals. Look at these individuals, aspire to be like them, or following what they carried out inside their life and their belief and their conviction. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to confer that favor upon us, that when He guides us to the straight path, the path of Islam, to remain committed to that path and remain focused and committed to following the right understanding of that path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that not a path of those individuals who've gone astray. In a hadith that's Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, that we find who these individuals have gone astray. That's what ulama mentioned. Look at their traits. Look at the symbols of these individuals. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ تَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you believe in part of the book and reject another part of the book? Do you sell the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a miserly price? Do you conceal the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you pick and choose certain ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are severe warnings, not just to these individuals, but to this Muslim ummah as well. That's what ulama of ulum al-Quran mentioned, al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi. The lesson is to be taken from the generality of the words and not from the specifics of revelation. So these ayat inside the Quran, Allah speaks about these people who've earned the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they went astray, or they thought that they were chosen individuals. And those who've gone astray were the misguided individuals, ad-dallin, those who carry out actions without any ilm. They have no knowledge, just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their emotional feeling, their spiritual understanding. And as we mentioned, this is not what Islam is. It's not your spiritual feeling. It's following that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. And then when a person then says at the conclusion of this Ameen, makes that mean that you find that whoever's Ameen corresponds with the Ameen of the Imam and the angels, then that person's minor sins are forgiven for that individual. And once again, we don't want to enter the fiqh of the saying of Ameen that we find in some narrations of Abi Dawood that we find the Prophet ﷺ would say it so loudly or the masjid, it could be heard. The whole masjid will be chanting Ameen, the ringing of Ameen will be throughout. The masjid could be heard by everyone who is attending at that location. And as we find in Al-Khatima that we find, as we began with cure for all diseases, for the heart and the body, the corruption of knowledge and intent is placed inside Surah Al-Fatiha. As we mentioned, it's incumbent for us to read the tafsir or tafasir, this surah, to understand what belief, what it means, the corruption of knowledge and the corruption of intention. And likewise, we mentioned the body. As we mentioned, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ رُقْيَا, that how to heal oneself to read Surah Al-Fatiha, which is known as أَعْظَمُ Surah. Ubay ibn Ka'ab was one day inside the masjid, and the Prophet ﷺ said to him, يَا Ubay, لَوْعَلِّمَنَّكَ أَعْظَمَ Surah مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, I'm going to teach you the greatest surah of the Qur'an. So the Prophet ﷺ, he got busy with speaking to people around him. Ubay ibn Ka'ab would come from here, from there, trying to grab his attention. Then finally he said to him, Ya Rasul, did you not say to me, you're going to teach me what is the greatest surah inside the Qur'an? He said, yes, indeed. The greatest surah inside the Qur'an is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The greatest surah inside the Qur'an. Like, just how we find the greatest ayah inside the Qur'an is Ayatul Kursi. That's why read these praises of certain surahs, certain ayat inside the Qur'an, and study them. If a person can't, obviously, many of us can't read the whole tafsir of the Qur'an inside our lives. But pick certain surahs that we're going to pick from this journey and read the tafsir or tafasir, these surahs, because these surahs will help you bond your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find, as we mentioned, it comprises the entire meaning of the Qur'an. And likewise, belief. Sadiq Hassan Khan, in his work, Ad-Dinul Khalis, he said that inside this surah, there's 30 affirmations of tawheed and belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside just surah Al-Fatiha all on its own. Just inside this surah is how these ulama have extracted the benefit of this surah. And in conclusion, man asks for right guidance. That's what we ask for. We ask for right guidance, and the rest of the Qur'an is an answer to that request. That's what Al-Fatiha, the beginning is, the introduction, the muqaddimah, the prologue, the beginning of this book, the book, Al-Kitab, referring to the Qur'an. This is the beginning that you as a human being are going to ask for guidance. So when you read Al-Fatiha, then the rest of the guidance is there when you carry on reading the Qur'an. That's what we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, some of the ulama said, taqriban alf ahkam, which is going to be our next journey, within later on, looking at the fada'il, the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha, or Surah Al-Baqarah. More than 1,000 rules and regulations mean that after completing Surah Al-Fatiha, the person is now ready. Ready to do what? Ready to listen to what Allah tells us. This is halal and this is haram. If the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been filled into your heart, into your mind, it becomes simple. It becomes like the clicking of a finger for a person to do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the person to do. That's when Allah said right in the beginning inside the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah said, seek aid and assistance via as-salah. Allah then clearly says it's difficult. Allah doesn't deny the fact that salah isn't difficult. He said it's going to be difficult. إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, except for those individuals who are submissive to Allah. For them, it becomes their soul. It becomes their life, like we eat and we drink. That's what Al-Fatiha becomes for them. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, those who ظَنْ هُنَا لَيْسَ بِمَعْنَى, they think or they speculate or conjecture or they think they're going to meet Allah. This is the dynamics of the Qur'an, language of the Qur'an. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ بِمَعْنَى حَقًّا يَقِينًا, they know for a fact they're going to meet Allah. They know that. There's no doubt inside, a shadow, iota of doubt inside their blood system that they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's when a person living on this dunya is full of alhamdulillah, is full of praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ash-shukr lillah, wa-thana lillah, wal-majdu lillah, wa-su'al lillah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah, extolling Allah, remembering Allah. That's what becomes the life of the individual. Praising Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will guide that individual on that journey until when he leaves this dunya, he returns back to hatta yalqa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until he goes back and he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant and facilitate that all of us make that journey easy and a simple journey to return back and to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the Quran mentions wujuhun yawma'idhin nadhira ila rabbiha nadhira, some faces that they will be radiant, will be glowing, will be shining on that day, who meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those individuals do good deeds, lilladhina ahsanu al-husna wa ziyada, inside Surah Yunus, people will believe in Allah, there will be goodness for them, wa ziyadatun, something extra will be given to these individuals, because this is a materialistic world that many of us, we fall prey to. So Allah gives us that encouragement. There's going to be much goodness inside the Akhirah. And the greatest achievement will be to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.